Hey, Green Future Growers. Don't forget to get your copy of the 2018 Organic Gardener Podcast Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available now at Amazon.com for $16.95. It's a place to keep track of your organic gardening journey, where you can record temperature, weather, recipes, produce that you grew, produce that you bought, and just all your successes and failures and challenges and dreams for the future, all your garden goals. Keep them track of them in one place. 225 pages that will go through each week of the year for the 2018 year. And just there's blank pages in there where you can sketch or write or do anything that will help you record your journey. So don't forget to get a copy of the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available at Amazon. You can go to the organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018 for the link. Jackie Marie Beyer here, your host for the Organic Gardener Podcast. We're back to part two of my interview with YouTubers Off Grid with Doug and Stacy.
Tell us some more about some other things besides, I'm still like just totally curious about how you built this house this fast. But what are like some other things that listeners would find on your channel if they go there?
I mean, if you come check out our channel, we do, we've built structures. When we first got here, the only structure on the property was our big barn that we have. And basically I took that and I harvest the rainwater off of the gutter. So we have a 3,000 gallon water catchment system that's gravity fed. And I'm actually going to be doing like an update video on that pretty soon. So by the time maybe your listeners run into this podcast, they can come check it out. And we gravity feed that into the log home. And we have two lawn hydrants for the animals and for the garden area. And in case your viewers didn't know, the best water to use for your garden is rainwater. So we just encourage you guys, even if you live in the city and you're listening to this awesome podcast, try to hook up a barrel, 50-gallon barrel or something to your downspouts so you can use the best water possible for your garden as well. And even if you're in a suburban area, in a neighborhood, you could do that. Of course, follow all your local rules and guidelines. There are some places that just don't like that. But that would be the best water you can use for your garden. So we do rainwater catchment. We do, like we said earlier, the composting of toilets. We also build structures. I built several other buildings and chicken coops. We have one video that's almost a 2 million hits where I built a $50 chicken coop in less than an hour. So that could give you some good ideas if you're going to start embracing chickens and ways to house them. And, you know, Stacy does a lot of her stuff.
Yeah, I do a lot of like holistic health type things, you know, making your own skincare, beauty care, working on fermenting our foods, you know, making homemade yogurt and cottage cheese and just different things just to live and get the most benefit out of our foods and keep them the most, you know, the healthiest and best way we can eat them. Like today, right now, I cook with a sun oven, an all-American sun oven, which is great. We don't need to use energy, but what we have with the sun, and I'm roasting some almonds in it right now. And we just try to do things as healthy as we can. So I do a lot of recipes. And Doug and I just like to have fun together. Sometimes we sit in our rocking chairs. We have hickory rocking chairs, and we just like to talk and just have a good time here.
Have you heard of the all-American sun oven?
No.
Shameless plug. So this is a product that we are stand behind 100%. We have a whole playlist dedicated to it. The reason why it's the bomb is because we can cook all summer long without heating up the house. Even though we have an outdoor kitchen, we rely more heavily on that. It can cook two chickens at one time, or you could cook a full meal. So like you can have, it comes with the pots and pans. You cook a full chicken and maybe some rice, and then you can even cook a dessert and even baked potatoes all at the same
time. Corn on the cob, you can make bread, you can boil hard boil eggs just in the carton. I mean, it is the
best
thing.
We canned butter in it. We've made ghee in it. We've also used it for dehydrating. It's a water purifier.
For all your herbs, yeah.
And people that watch our show, if you guys, if your listeners want to save money on them, we actually got partnered up with the company, and we offer a $70 off coupon, which is www.sunoven.com/Doug Stacy. So you could use that coupon code, or you could go check out our playlist so you can kind of get an idea about them. But it's a nice savings on it, and it is. We use it like crazy
all summer. I use it every day for something. It is really great. It is definitely living off grid. Or if you're even in the subdivision, I have friends that have them.
Anywhere.
You don't want to heat up your house.
Yes.
In the summertime, if you want to bake, it makes the best cookies. It doesn't burn. It is just great. It's like a big outside crock pot with no electricity.
And as long as you can see your shadow, you can cook in the All-American Sun Oven. So even in the wintertime, you can use it. It's just a great item to have for all your listeners, you know, especially like, you know, organic stuff. I mean, this is no fuel, no fossil fuels, no anything. You're just using the power of the sun, and you're cooking all your bounty and dehydrating. We use it for dehydrating tomatoes, making beef jerky.
And then herbs. It's so easy to dehydrate, you know, and make your herbs out of it. And then with the tomatoes, people have so many tomatoes, it dehydrates tomatoes. I still have tomatoes from a year ago that I haven't used up yet, and they're still good.
Yeah. So it's we have a whole playlist if they want to check it out. But I'm glad we talked about it, because a lot of people, it's oddly enough, haven't really heard about it. The company's been in business for 20-something years. We know the owner of the company. He really likes what we're doing. And we always try to get the word out on that whenever we can.
Yeah, and being in Montana, people that have a lot of snow, you get a really good reflection too. So it cooks really good out there.
As long as you can see your shadow, you can cook. But the outside temperature doesn't matter as far as cooking with the sun on it. And if it starts to rain, it's kind of like, what are those boxes? They have these, like, I forget what they're called. But, okay, so if it starts to rain and you're already cooking, you basically just bring it in. And it'll continue cooking as long as you don't open it up, because it's very well insulated, that it actually maintains the heat and it just continues to cook. So, I mean, it's just, we can't say enough about it. So for people that are really interested in like this organic, like natural type of lifestyle, you might want to give that a look because we just use the heck out of it and we, you know, we really stand behind it.
I'm going to check that out today because I have been like cursing my propane stove all week because we've been out of propane and I haven't been able to go get it. And I'm like, I just want an electric stove. The electricity hasn't gone out. We've had electricity since 2000 now. I think it's been out like 3 times. My fridge has never thawed, knock on wood. I'm ready to get an electric stove at this point, but maybe this will be a better solution.
You will. That propane stuff is going to get spider webs on it. Once you get the sun oven, you just wake up in the morning. So the thing about it is, if you want to have, you know, we've done brownies, breads, cookies. Actually, Paul at All American Sun Oven actually just until recently held the World Guinness Book record of the most chocolate chip cookies baked at the same time. So
because they had one of those really big, they have a big, huge one.
And the nice thing about the company, I don't mean to just go on about All American
Sun Oven. No, I'm sure people are excited to hear this.
The All American Sun Oven is a fabulous company. It's family owned. They're American made. He employs Americans, but they also do such great humanitarian work. So like every sun oven you buy, a portion of the proceeds goes towards reaching out to third world countries. He's changed like villages. He's changed their lives. Like they're able, like over there, they're so forested in a lot of places like Afghanistan. And what was the other places?
Africa, I would think.
Africa, Somalia. Yeah. Right. So it takes them all day long to go out and harvest for wood just to cook. So the women are away from, because they're the ones who collect it, they're away from the homestead like all day long, and then they come back and then they have to cook.
And it's
so
dangerous too for them to go out.
Yes. So what this has enabled them to do is stay at the property, cook, they make bread, then they can sell the bread, make a living. You know, it's just, he's changed people's lives in these situations.
And they can preserve their food. A lot of times they would sell things in season, he was telling us. And then they found out they could
dehydrate
a lot of it. So now the people would buy it from them, and then they would resell their produce back to them and make them pay more for it.
Right.
But now they can go ahead and they can save it by dehydrating their food. And then that way they can make it through the winter months.
Yeah. So see, like basically they would sell their fresh organic, you know, fresh produce to this person A. Person A would buy it from them, and then they had the means to dehydrate it. So then they would dehydrate it, and then they would sell it back to the harvesters later in the year for 5 times the price. So now they're able to take the produce, dehydrate it themselves, and then cut that back and forth out, saving them tons of money. And I mean, you know, $1 or $2 or $5 is a lot, you know, when like 50 cents is like the average wage of, you know, something. So, yeah, I mean, it's just changed lives. So that's what we really like about it, too. I mean, it's just more than just But it's just a great way to cook. I mean, you will not be heating up your house. You will not be burning through the propane. You just plan a little bit, put your meal out there. If you need to have hotter temperatures, it has sundials on it. So you just kind of move it to kind of follow the sun if you're trying to keep it really hot. But Stacy and I will fill it with chicken and rice and all that stuff. You cannot burn anything.
Yeah, because it has pots with it that are stackable.
Yeah.
They're like enamel pots. So, like, I'll put a chicken in one. You can put chicken with potatoes and carrots in the bottom one if you want to put rice in it. And you'll have a full-fledged meal. You stick it in there. Yeah. And a lot of times I'll just not put it in the, like, right in direct sun. But it, like, will be gone all day.
All
and I'll
day.
Just let it cook all day. And it all melts day. Off the bone. It's like having a crock-pot meal. And
right.
it's out of this world.
Actually, we did a video called Crock-Pot Without Electricity. And I think in the first 2 weeks, it had over 100,000 hits. But it's just, you know, you don't have to follow the sun with it. If you just want to put it out there and put it, like, in a general direction, it cooks all day. We're gone sometimes, and, like, we'll go. And you know how it is, like, you're leaving your house, and you're like, well, we'll be back at, like, 4. And so, but you get back, it's, like, 8:30, right? And it's dark outside and everything. But we go, we get our stuff. It's still warm inside of there because it's a seal. The gasket on it makes a really tight seal, so it really holds the heat. And we bring it in, and boom, we're ready to eat. Everything's done. The brownies aren't burned. Nothing ever burns, and everything stays
well,
so
moist.
Well,
yeah, the one thing, with if you're going to do baked goods, you definitely just let it cook its normal time. Because, like, if you're going to cook brownies or something or bread at 350, then you're going to cook it, you know, an hour or half hour. You know, it just depends on
yeah.
the sun. But, yeah, I wouldn't leave, like, I wouldn't put brownies and let them cook all day because they'll dry out too much.
They'll dry
but
out.
But regular food, you know, it's good. And if you just want to cook something kind of quick, like you would normally cook in a regular oven, if you can cook it in an oven, you can cook it in this thing. And it's great.
Man, set it and forget it. So check out, go to our YouTube channel, and you'll see a tab that says playlists. Or you can look down on our home screen when you get there, and you'll see an off-grid All-American Sun Oven Cooking playlist, and we have tons of recipes and ideas and ways to use it in there. I'm like, again, I don't mean to make it an infomercial, but holy smokes, it is one of the okay. So, back to the tools that you asked us about earlier, that's definitely one that we would want to take with us anywhere that we go.
Yeah, because you know, if you camp or anything. Because it only weighs at 22 pounds,
and
it has
like
a handle on it. It's like
suitcase.
A suitcase.
Yeah.
And it's heavy duty. It's made well. My Sun Oven has been through, as they say, hell and high water. I mean, it is great. You just wipe it down with a little vinegar and water. And
It is the best Sun Oven on the market today, period, bar none.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of people try to make them, and this is really definitely worth it. It's worth your while. It's worth every penny.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
They don't look like they're that expensive. I was kind of looking on Amazon when you were talking. Didn't look too bad. Certainly not more than a regular stove.
Right. So if you go look at Amazon, so through our link, you still save $70 off of that, and it's free shipping.
Cool. I was looking at your website, and I love that chicken coop for $50 because it looks like it's portable besides, which has been like a huge thing with Mike and I. Like, I finally talked him into letting the chickens out of the pen, which is part of why our garden is so overgrown by the house, because he's so frustrated that the chickens are loose. So 2 years ago the chickens got out, now they fly over the fence. Like, for 10 years they were always in there. You know, they have a pretty big pen, but always bothered me in the summer that they couldn't get out. So then they got out. Thank God, knock on wood, they haven't gotten the mini farm yet. But I love that because that, like, it looks like, you know, you can just put it on your regular grass and they can move around anywhere. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we can take them anywhere. So basically, we do things a little bit different. A lot of the homesteaders on YouTube and that you'll find, they basically keep their chickens closed in and then they grow food. And some people use the electric netting and they keep the chickens kind of in the area and then they move them off the area and then they do their planting. So basically we let our ducks and our chickens and our guineas, they can go anywhere on the property, and we've locked our garden up. We put a fence around the garden area so they stay out of there until we're ready for them to come in. And then when we want them to go in, we just leave the door open and they'll go in and fertilize and till and do everything that they're supposed to do. But they do it when we're ready for them to do it. So, like, one of the things about that chicken coop that you're talking about is that it's very lightweight. A kind of a fad thing right now are the chicken tractors or chicken, as they call them. But A lot of the people that use them, Joe Salatin, we're friends with him. Nothing against any of his processes or anything, but just remember that he has a team of people there that are dragging these things around. They use tractors. They use a lot of manpower. And so for the average person like Stacy and myself, as we get older, one of the things we really talk about a lot on our channel is aging in place, right? So you want to put systems in place, even though like you're the young buck right now and you can do everything and yeah, you have no fear, but we're all getting older. So we want to have systems in place that can accommodate that so we don't have to scale back as dramatically as we age. So for us, we have like a stationary chicken coop. We let them free range and then we just lock our garden up. It's a lot easier than dragging like a chickshaw around, picking up the electric fencing, putting it back down into place, you know, moving them 4 or 5 times, you know, a month or once a week or once every couple of days, some of them. So that's just the kind of stuff that we
How promote. Do you lock your garden up though?
Well, we have a big fence around it. I built a fence around it with chicken wire. And so basically nothing can get in there unless I want them to.
But our fence is, you know, it keeps the deer out. It's like 6 feet or I don't think it's 8 feet. Yeah. I think it's 6 feet tall and the chickens just fly right over it.
Ours is 5 feet tall. And if your chicken does, just snip the right wing and it won't fly anymore.
That's what so Mike keeps saying. He wants to snip their wings.
Yeah, so it doesn't hurt them, and there's nothing wrong with doing it. But you'll find that you might have a couple of troublemakers, but for the majority, most of your chickens probably aren't going in there. But you'll always get that one or two. So focus in on those. Make it to where they can't fly. All it does is offset their wings so they can't fly because they can't get the air like they need. But, yeah, we haven't had any problem with that. And we also have cats. We have farm cats that take care of our mice population and rabbits and stuff like that. So we also want to keep them out of there as well.
The cats?
Sure.
Huh. Yeah, they like it. They use it as kitty
litter.
It's
a great big litter box. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, Mike has like, I know we have that problem too. Like when, especially like in, I call it the, we don't really have a greenhouse, but he like plastics off our porch. And so when everything, all that dirt's fresh before the seedlings come up, he's got to cover our lettuce because the cats go in there and they're sleeping in there and he has to cover his pots and things with, you know, some kind of screen or something. We don't have as big of a problem with the cats outside in the garden, but we have, you know, a pretty big place here. They have plenty of places to go.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. You've shared a ton of stuff. All right. So I only have a couple of questions left. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine? Like, is there a favorite book that you can recommend? What about that Garden Eden one? I don't know.
What's your favorite book you like to read? There's a couple of books that were very influential for us when we first started the journey. One is The Self-Sufficient Life and How to Live It by John Seymour. We're also friends with Esther Emery. They actually have a YouTube channel, too. It's called Vouchomatic Off-Grid. And her mother actually wrote a book called
The Encyclopedia of Country Living by Carla Emery.
Yeah.
What's it called? Vouchomatic. How do you spell that?
Fouch, F-O-U-C-H with an O and then matic. It's just kind of a play off of her husband. He was in theater and stuff, and he builds stuff. He's kind of crafty. But her mother, Carla Emery, wrote the book. What's it called?
The Encyclopedia of Country Living.
And so back in the 70s or 60s, she would travel around, and she did this same thing that we're doing now. It all came full circle. So that's a really good book. And we also like Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions.
And that's a great way to prepare, you know, food. There's recipes talking about our food, what's happened to the food over the years. And it's a wonderful book called Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon. And
I love her. I feel like she's changed my life. And she has been the second most viewed page. I interviewed her and just like, I couldn't believe what I learned from her. Because she's like one of the founders of the Weston A. Price Foundation, right?
If people are not subscribed or go to that channel, go to that. It's wonderful, you know, way to learn about things, and it's a wonderful resource. Just fabulous.
And that's when you guys watch our channel, that is all the kind of stuff we incorporate into our channel: health, nutrition, you know, your body, food, what foods could benefit you. I mean, we're just, you know, that's a big portion of what we do, is just trying to, you know, it's just not just like, you know, having animals and growing food, but why are you doing those things and how does it benefit your body?
And then another thing is we like to do a lot of foraging because there's a lot of things that we call weeds around here, you know, with dandelions and milk thistle and and Lamb's Quarter and Queen Anne's Lace and, you know, Rose of Sharon, all these different things that are just out, you know, in your yard, and they are very healthful for you and very good for you, and you can eat them. And somebody that I like, Yule Gibbons, he was way back when, I guess people know maybe when he was older, when he did the grape nuts ads, but he was a big advocate of going out and foraging and knowing your herbs and plants out. And so he did a bunch of books, but one of them is called Stalking the Wild Asparagus. And they call wild asparagus like cattails. So, and there the whole plant is pretty much edible too. And I really love those kind of books. And all, he has, I think, three different books, but they're Stalking the Wild Asparagus is a really good book too. And he gives recipes and things like that.
Are you guys going to write a book soon?
Yeah, we're trying to get moving in that direction. We have a cookbook.
It's a lot of work.
We have so much with this YouTube channel and then our speaking stuff. And yeah. And the thing about our channel is that when people ask questions or, you know, we really try to engage them in the comments section. So it really, we're really dedicated to it. But, yeah, we're planning on a cookbook, and we're also planning on, like, our story and kind of like this lifestyle and the benefits of it to help try to encourage people.
I love it. There's a book this woman recommended to me. She is a, they call it the pizza farm in like North Dakota or South Dakota. I can't remember, but it's called, what's it called? Dirty Life, I think. I just took it to the, you know, one of those little library window things that they have boxes where you like, you know, share books. That's not like a public library. It's just got like the little door. It's like a little stand with a mini library. I can't believe I can't think of what it's called right now. But anyway, you guys might be interested in her book. She was like a journalist and falls in love with this guy on a farm. And it's kind of similar to you guys, but very different. And just, we can't have enough of those books out there. I love to read biographies. So, yeah. And you guys have just had this extraordinary life. I know listeners are going to be like hanging on every word today. I know they're just really going to enjoy this, right up our alley. So usually now I ask a question about business advice for listeners, but how about some YouTube advice? Because I have a lot of listeners, I think, who are like, you know, trying to get into the farmer market space and probably want, are interested in promoting a business. I'm sure they're fascinated. They've gotten so many views this fast. Like, got any tips for starting a YouTube? What's even a playlist? Some people are like, what's a YouTube playlist?
So if you want to get into like the YouTube space, I mean, it's going to take some work and dedication. A lot of people, I think, come into YouTube and they have this false assumption that, you know, just because I put up videos that, you know, we're going to get views and we're going to get subscribers. And just remember that, you know, you're your biggest fan. So try to always get outside thoughts and opinions and honest ones too. Like sometimes you ask your family members or friends, but they don't want to tell you honestly, like, oh, I would change this or that. So you want to make sure you get honest feedback so you can actually bring, when you bring value and a little bit of entertainment intertwined, that's going to resonate with people. So if you're starting off a YouTube channel, you want to do these things called collaborations. So basically you're going to try to find channels that are around your size. So if you're just starting out, you might have 10 or 20 subscribers. So you might want to look for somebody with 100 subscribers that kind of fits into your niche, you know, like what you're doing and what you believe in. And then you want to reach out to them and say, hey, I think, you know, your channel's great and you've been watching them for a while. And, you know, maybe we can work together. So maybe you can do a video on a topic and that person can do a video on a topic. And then you basically just talk back and forth. And then the person says, hey, go check out this channel, Off Grid with Doug and Stacy, about this topic. And then your channel would say, hey, go check out, you know, Farmland America and their channel on their ideas about this topic. And so what that does is help generate a little crossover attention. So the people that are on your subscriber list will watch their video and vice versa. So that's a great way to grow the channel. We do a lot of collaborations, and that is a very important part. Also, just make sure you're commenting. You know, when people take the time out to write you a comment, try to respond to those as much as you can. As obviously, the more your channel grows, it becomes like, you know, for us, like there's 100,000 of them and there's only one of us because Stacy really doesn't do it. So I do my best to get in there and answer questions and mix it up in the comment section. And, you know, just we use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, your Twitter and your Instagram for sure. Are going to help you if you're posting little snippets about your day or taking pictures. And then all roads lead back to YouTube, and then that will help you grow your YouTube channel as well. So about the playlist, on every homepage of every channel that you watch on YouTube, there should be. So if you have a YouTube channel and you don't have playlists on your homepage and a welcome to our channel video that you put up that's maybe like a minute or two long, kind of encompassing what you're doing on your channel, you really should make that a top priority. Playlists would include something like recent uploads, and this is all part of the analytics or you know, stuff that YouTube does. So all you have to do is go to your homepage, hover over the homepage. You'll see some pencils pop up. It's pretty easy going, self-explanatory. And there's videos you can watch probably if you can't figure it out. But you want to do like recent uploads, popular uploads, and then like group some things together. So if you're gardening, you want to have like a gardening playlist where you're going to tag all your gardening videos to go into that playlist. So if a person clicks on one of those videos, they can just basically watch every video you've done about gardening as long as you have added them to those playlists.
Can I ask a question about that? Because like the thing I'm finding with this like teaching one that I'm building is like I want them to go in a certain order. Is there a way to make the videos play like this is video one, this is video two, like in the playlist?
Yeah, so when you actually go in as a creator, you go into your creator studio, and then you go to that playlist, you can actually drag each video. So like normally they're just going to post in order received, right? So they're just every time you add one, it's going to go to the back of the line, and then that's how it's basically chronological. So if you want to move them around, then you go into your creator studio, and then you'll just drag and drop each video where you want it to be in that playlist, so you can do it that way. Yes.
Awesome. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you solved that problem for me. I think listeners, what about just one more quick question, because like this girl posted this thing about Instagram hashtags the other day that like was like life-changing to me. I was like, what? Because I've never really like, I kind of figured hashtags, but like she said, if you're starting out on Instagram, look for hashtags that have more than 10,000 but less than 100,000. And then you want to get into the top 9 pictures for that hashtag. So, like, I've been always posting, like, on organic gardening and grow your own food. And those are, like, have millions, you know, of things. So I've, like, now I added, like, Garden Lover and Green Garden. Like, there were a few others that were in that 10 to 100,000. And, like, to me, that was a huge game changer. Like, do you use hashtags? Are there any hashtag secrets for YouTube?
Yeah, so hashtags do work for YouTube. They probably are more advantageous for like your Instagram, but they even work for Twitter as well. So you want to use the hashtags. We just, you know, just like your YouTube metadata, you want to put as many tags in your tag area in the Creator Studio as possible that revolve around what you're doing. And the more tags that you have, the more so basically YouTube can read the title, they can check the metadata of your thumbnail, and then they go to the tags. So those are the three things right there that are going to get your video in a suggested video file. So if someone looks up organic gardening or teaching, like what you're talking about, then that's a way to get your video recognized. So YouTube promotes that video. So hashtags are always important. If you're trying to get on the Instagram and build that up, you want to post 3 pictures every single day on Instagram, and you want to hashtag them relevant to the picture. So you'd be hashtag organic gardening or hashtag teachers or whatever you're doing, and try to find a lot of hashtags. We usually do 10 or 15 hashtags. We've slowed down a little bit now. You'll see some of our videos might have, our Instagram posts might have 3 or 4 hashtags, because we almost have 7,000.
Before we get to the root of things, we're going to take a moment to thank our sponsors, my good friend, Dacia Daly from Simply Josephine.
It's all about handcrafted soaps and apron love here at Simply Josephine. Located in Montana's beautiful Tobacco Valley, I create everything from my home studio. Currently, I offer 6 different kinds of handmade soaps, 3 different salves, using wildcrafted plant medicine from right here in our beautiful valley. In addition to my body care products, I also make several styles of aprons. Everything is available at simplyjosephine.com. We want to share a little love with the Organic Gardener Podcast listeners. We're offering 15% off. Use code OGP15 at checkout. Thanks and have a beautiful day. simplyjosephine.com.
Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audio book? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like the other Green Future Growers. Well, the Organic Gardener podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audio book. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book or type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com and you can get listening to your first audio book today. Hi. Sorry about that.
Was that on your end?
Skype drops the call usually at 45 minutes and we're at almost 90 minutes. So but you guys have been so awesome and there's two of you so we can go. And my listeners, they don't seem to care about time as much as I know a lot of other shows are like, you know, I like to, the one thing with time with me is, like I said, the editing takes a long time. So I try to keep them to 35 minutes, but you guys have just been so just adding so much value out there. I know listeners are going to love this. So many golden seeds you've shared today. So I know right off the top of my head, I can think of like five people that I'm friends with that listen regularly that are going to love this hashtag and knowledge.
Yeah. So you want me to pick that back up?
Yeah. So how you were saying 10 to 15 hashtags, but you've slowed down 3 to 4 hashtags maybe. And then you started telling me how many Instagram followers you have.
Right. So right now we have about almost 7,000 people that follow us on Instagram. I mean, you know, if you look,
200, I think, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, and it takes time. I mean, you know, we've been at it and we have to stay consistent. So if you want to really grow your Instagram, one of the main tricks is 3 posts a day minimum. So make sure you're posting on Instagram. And then what we do is in our bio, we have a short little bio. They have give you the opportunity to do that. And then all roads lead back to YouTube. So we have a YouTube link on our Instagram. And then they can go check out our videos there. So hashtags, you know, we're hashtagging small gardens, organic gardening, you know, gentleman's farm, you know, just look around. And then we try to mix them up too. So you're not using the same hashtags every single time. But yeah, hashtags are very important because if someone goes on Instagram, they know most people are user friendly savvy on Instagram and they'll go right to the search bar and hit in a hashtag small garden and then they'll see what pops up. And that's the way for you to get exposure and grow your Instagram feed. And by growing your Instagram feed and your Facebook page and your Twitter feed, that is going to help you grow a YouTube channel if that's your ultimate goal.
Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Yeah, because like I never go in and search hashtags. Like I have all to do, like when I go to Instagram, like if I can get through 100 pictures in one sitting and click like on the people I'm connected with already. But that's probably why I only have 200 followers.
Yeah, and just like anything, you know, try to interact, you know, instead of just like liking the picture, maybe leave some comments. Because what happens
is... Well, I try to do that because I always feel like the power's in the comment, whether I'm on Facebook or Instagram or anywhere, that's where you really make connections.
That's another YouTube secret. So like when we first were really getting serious about this, I spent a lot of time watching other videos that are, you know, kind of like what we're doing and leaving intelligent comments. That way people would see my comment and they would say, well, Off Grid with Doug and Stacy, who are these people? You know, they read the comment. They were like, wow, they might have something to offer. And they click on it. And then that brought them to our YouTube channel. And they were like, holy smokes, they live without electricity. You know, they're doing the thing. And then they subscribe. So just like on Instagram, if you leave a nice comment, someone who's visiting that you don't have any connection to, just because that person that you like their picture has connection to, they see your comment, people are always curious, they'll click on your Instagram logo, bring to your page, and then they'll be like, oh wow, this is somebody I could follow. And then that's how you'll also grow your audience.
Oh my gosh, what did you do before? Were you in marketing? Like what did you do that you've like gained so much knowledge about all this so fast?
Oh my gosh.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, I've never been in anything internet like that. I mean, I'm not an IT guy or anything, but I have been in sales my whole life. I mentioned earlier in the show that I had left home when I was almost 16. And I've just been like this entrepreneurial. I grew up in an entrepreneurial type of sales, type of marketing, type of management lifestyle. And so that's been my whole adult life. So basically, when we decide to do something, and you can ask my wife, I mean, just like building the cabin, I have no experience, but I'm a fast learner and I'm a hands-on guy, so I can get in there and get it done. Just like these buildings I've built and anything that we do, she'll tell you, I'm basically like, hey, we're going to do that. And then we do it. And, you know, we run into a few snags here and there, but we learn from them and we go, but it's never like a total disaster. So I'm a fast learner. And when I get in, I'm usually all in, right?
Yeah. And life has never been boring because of that. We know we've done, and because of that, I guess it's, you know, your personality and how he is. Yeah. We've led a very exciting life. And
I mean, we've started off when we got married. We've been married 16 years. We started off, we rode Harley. We had a Harley, and we rode it coast to coast. We did all these crazy adventures. We've done, like, the Alaska thing, and we've glaciers, snow, what is it? Snow sled or dog mushed on the dog sledding on a glacier. Yeah, I was having a rain preserves. So we've done that. We zip line in Alaska. I mean, we're very adventurous type of people, but we're not afraid to try new stuff. And so for us, it's like, if it passes, that's great. Good life experience. And if it's a fail, then we can learn from that and then move on.
Well,
to the
I think
next
that's
thing.
One thing, especially with gardening. I mean, you can't be afraid to fail because it's going to happen, you know, and that's why when you plant, don't just plant one thing. You want to plant multiple things, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
But learning by doing is the best way to learn. So that's how I learned to do all this stuff.
Right.
I spent time on it. Stacy yelled at me sometimes. Hey, what are you doing? You're too much time learning that. So I just said, just hang in there. Built up the channel. And, you know, it's actually helping fund our homestead.
Because you know how people get, you know, people that are successful, what is it, 10,000
knows.
No, people who are successful are people who really devote a lot of time to what they want to be good at. And I'll have to say, my husband devotes a lot of time to this YouTube thing, and he's learning, and he's constantly studying and struggling and learning and doing this, and you know, and he's made it work. So,
and we're reaching out, right? So like, we're doing this podcast, we've done other podcasts in the past. We do things that are kind of outside the box too, as far as like collaboration with other YouTube people. We're you know, speaking at engagements. We have these podcasts. We even find people that we want to do collabs with on YouTube that aren't even like necessarily growing a garden or living off grid or anything really that we're doing, but we know that there's a common thread in there somewhere that their viewers would find an interest in what we're doing and that our viewers would find an interest in them. So we try to think outside of, we just don't want to get pigeonholed in like this homesteading off grid thing, you know? So we try to reach out, and that's why we talk a lot about health and nutrition and all that stuff. And we actually met, I had a friend, back to your question. I had a friend that was,
I knew you'd get there.
Yeah, his wife plays in a band, and so one night she said, oh, look, I'm playing in the band, and so I said, cool, I'll come check it out. So I rode the Harley up there, and Stacy, who was hardly ever went out at the time, really.
But I had just, that night, I had just bought a brand new Jeep Wrangler,
yeah,
and I wanted to drive it.
And she went out with her girlfriends to the same place. And then basically we met that night, and I asked her, the next day was
No, tell them what you said to me when I walked in.
Oh my gosh, I was going to get there.
Okay.
So that night we met, and I said, hey, you know, you want, tomorrow we did this thing in St. Louis, it's called Bikers for Babies, it's a March of Dimes ride. So I'm like, do you want to go on this with me and all this stuff? And she's like, yeah. But anyways, when we met though, I did ask her what?
No, you're supposed to say it.
Say it.
He comes up to me, I'm thinking, what a corny line. Do you believe at love at first sight?
Yeah.
Aww.
So that was in October, and we got married in December the same year.
Yep.
Almost as fast as I built the log cabin. And we've been married 17 years. Yeah.
Aww. Like, had you talked at all, or you just saw her and were like, that's her?
Well, that was it.
I came right up
to her, and that was, you know, I was going, that's, I was, so funny. When I saw her, I went right for closing mode. You know, it was just one of those things. It was just like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just saw her, and I was just like, in my mind, I was just like, that is the girl I'm going to marry. And I even told her, I said, do you believe in love at first sight? And right away we had a connection. And I mean, I had some circumstances going on in my life, and she was just, it was just a great fit, and we've been together ever since, and we've never had a dull moment, and we live life to the fullest, and you know, it's just been a great time.
Aww.
It was 16 years ago. If you would have walked up in that bar or soon after that and said, hey, your future is going to involve living in a log cabin, no electricity, no solar power, you're going to be growing your own food, and you're going to have a YouTube channel, and people are actually going to give a rip about what you're doing, we would have been like,
what?
Are you crazy? Get away from me.
Yeah, really.
I mean, we had a big 3,000 square foot house with the atrium windows.
And a cul-de-sac, and, yeah, living the suburbial life.
Brand new cars and all that. I mean, it was just crazy.
Now we have one truck.
Now we live in like 600 square feet. Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Yep. I love that. I always ask couples, like, how'd you meet? The two questions I always ask people, how'd you meet your husband, and what's your favorite thing to cook for dinner? Okay, ready for my final question?
Wait, you have to ask us that question. Our favorite thing to cook for dinner.
Oh, what's your favorite thing to cook for dinner?
You got to ask us that, because everyone on our YouTube channel knows that answer.
And what's your favorite thing to cook for dinner?
Taco night.
Oh, man, do we have taco night. So that's a big running funny on our YouTube channel, because like people – we actually have some of our subscribers that come here and visit the homestead and hang out with us and stuff. And, yeah, they always say like when we come, we're having taco night. So that's our big running joke. So, yeah, we have grass-fed beef.
Beef or lamb. And then I get all the stuff from the garden. Yeah. Everything is fermented, different things, you know. And then we have wonderful, wonderful taco night.
But we do eat it quite a bit.
Nice. I guess I was thinking I had asked you what's your favorite recipe from the garden, so I didn't realize that we hadn't talked about that. Taco night. So then what kind of taco, like the hard taco shells, or do you make your own taco shells, or like?
We use some tortillas, but we also use like chips. You know, we like to just put it on chips.
I make
like
a taco salad.
Yeah.
And then I like sprouted wheat tortillas if we do that. Sprouted wheat tortillas, or we make a big taco salad. So what's good is when people come to our house, is that kids, adults, picky eaters, gluten-free people, everybody can eat taco night. So when we have people come over, that's always the safest thing for me to make. So it works out good, and it's healthy for you, and it's always a wonderful treat.
Oh, cool. Okay, ready for the final question?
Yes.
Okay, if there's one change you guys would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, globally, or nationally?
So we'll answer that two separate things. Okay. So Stacey will give you her answer, and then I'll give you mine.
All right.
Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
You're up, Stacey.
Well,
see, before it was women's first. Now she's like, do you want me to go first? You want me to do it first?
Okay, what I think is, I mean, what we need food and water for us to survive, right? So mm-hmm. I would say right now the big thing for us is to get control of the genetically modified foods that we're having and what's going on and how it's destroying people's health and wreaking havoc on our environment and everything. So my one would be, you know, taking charge of GMO foods. And if you're not familiar with GMO foods and you want to know one of the leading experts, his name's Jeffrey Smith. He's done so much. You can find him on YouTube. He's got DVDs out, but just check that out. And he can really educate you on what's going on, keep you abreast of, you know, what is going on in the GMO movement. There's so many people who are out there being activists against it. Rachel Perrin is another one that we're friends with. What's her YouTube channel?
Rachel's News.
Rachel's News. She's just starting something called Rachel's News. And just get out there, get the word out.
You might have heard of her. She actually did a thing when she was like 12 against Kevin O'Leary, you know, from Shark Tank.
Really?
Yeah. So she went on television in Canada and debated him and another host. You can look it up on YouTube, and we have a video about it as well. But so she debated them about GMOs and about, you know, because a lot of people don't understand the difference between hybrid plants and GMO plants. So it was very she's a really good and
very
well-spoken girl.
Yeah.
And so she's friends of ours, and she's an activist, you know, just like John Kohler from Growing Your Greens. Everyone's trying to get the word out for the GMOs.
So that would be mine.
So mine would be two. My first one would be because, you know, I don't know if most of your listeners are probably hip to it, but just large scale farming, especially, you know, they use Monsanto and GMOs and all this stuff. Large scale farming does not feed the world. That's a total misconception. But what it does do is it depletes the soil and drives down soil vitality, which is in turn going to create and is creating the global warming and problems with our atmosphere, right? They're spraying these chemicals and they're putting them into the ground, and they're doing it on a scale never known to mankind. So one, that would be one of my things. If we could educate more people to grow the food that they need in their own yard.
And our soils are depleted of one mineral, especially called magnesium.
Yeah.
And everyone is low in that. I mean, there's so many things,
health issues
coming because our soil is so depleted.
A lot of people are eating food that are grown big pharma. And what's happening is they're not getting nutrition for the food. So they eat more. And then now we're talking about obesity and a lot of other health problems.
We have a lot of fat, unhealthy people.
Right. But we eat more food and have more health care than any place on the globe. So that would be my thing is to, you know, back in World War II, they had the victory gardens. You know, everyone was growing their own food. And we've been slowly pushed into processed foods and boxed foods in the grocery stores. They're called stores because they're storing things that you should be storing at your house, right? So that's the store where you go to get your food. You should have your own store, your own root cellar, your own cabinet full of things that you've grown, and it'll be a lot healthier for you. And I think that would be a major blow, if you will, to the global warming thing. Now, my second thing is that every household would get an all-American sun oven, because with an all-American sun oven, you could cut back on a lot of the fossil fuel uses. You know, you could cut back on deforesting from trees. We use a wood cook stove during the wintertime, but during the summertime, we're like 80-90% using the sun oven versus our propane gas. So you're just, if you want to really contribute, you know, we have a joke on our YouTube channel, and we say, like, if Al Gore is really serious about global warming, then he would come and live our lifestyle, right? But instead, he has like this 200-room mansion, and he jet sets around the world in his private plane. So if you're going to walk the walk, talk the talk, we want you to walk the walk. So definitely those would be two things that I would say to see a sun oven in every person's home would really cut down on a lot of things that could contribute to global warming. So that is the Doug and Stacy global warming segment.
Tell them again how they get the discount.
Okay, so you just go to your web browser and you type in www.sunoven.com/Doug Stacy. And I'm sure our wonderful hostess will have this information linked in the podcast for you guys to maybe take advantage of if that's possible with her podcast. Otherwise, www.sunoven.com/Doug Stacy.
I do put in the show notes, but I always like to have my guests say things on the air because most of my listeners don't. Well, I don't know. I just looked the other day and Google Analytics blew my mind. 38,000 people have been to my website, which I was like, holy cow. But then it's like they stay for like less than a minute. So I don't know what they're doing there. But anyway, so like I said, you know, it's a podcast, it's audio. So I like to put that link. I just have to add, you know, like before I hang up, what prompted you guys to go off grid?
It was just like, we never even knew we were going to do it.
No.
I mean, we just decided.
Like you bought this piece of land and there wasn't power and you were like.
We bought 11 acres and we sold our house and we sold everything in our house. We didn't bring anything with us. We sold it all on Craigslist.
Everything on Craigslist.
We were having garage sales. We blew out everything. The only thing we kept was our futon and our coffee table that's in our log cabin right now. So when we got here, it was like, cool. So I'm building the log cabin. Fine. I came up here. I slept in a tent. Stacy, we had a one bedroom apartment that we rented for a year, and Stacy was there. And then that process, we were looking for the land, you know, living in that place, getting used to the downsize. And then so then I found the place, and then I brought the tent up, and then I got the logs, and then I started building. And so when we got done, you know, it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, now what? So like, yeah, we could have paid the money and had electricity ran to the building. But by that time, we'd already met the Amish and we're like, holy smokes, they live without electricity. What do we need it for? It's like such a big expense to have the wires ran to the house. What's the benefit? What's the ROI? So it was like, okay, we're going to have a refrigerator, maybe a freezer, maybe some lights.
Yeah, because I was like, I can't live without a refrigerator. Right. I need to have a propane refrigerator.
Yeah, we were going to do propane. Then we said, man, that's kind of expensive, those propane.
So what do you do?
So we have a 100-year-old ice box, and we actually put ice in it just like they did back in the pioneer days. And right now I'm getting ready to build a root cellar where I'm going to build an ice house inside of it in the ground, and I'll harvest ice either from our pond, because we have a pond where we have our fish. That's another food item that we have here. And I'm going to harvest ice out of that pond, or we'll set up containers during the winter, and we'll freeze them and then block them and put them in that ice box, and that ice will last from one season to the next.
Yeah, like the old feed buckets that you have, you know, the little black things that you feed your cattle. So those work really good to fill with water and freeze for winter.
Wow. We've been working on building a root cellar, but we've been talking all summer, like, we need another freezer, we need another freezer, but that would be awesome. And our season, I'm sure we're colder. I mean, we already had a couple of nights where it went down to 38.
Yeah, right. Perfect. You could do it easy.
So it's not really good for like freezing your food. I mean, we do cheat a little bit, and we have a neighbor that we're really handy with. We help him do things at his homestead all the time. He's an older gentleman, so we've actually put a freezer in his outbuilding that we keep meat in and stuff like that. But you could can your meat, and then you could put everything else that you grow in that root cellar, and you could build an ice box. You know, I don't know. It sounds like you have electricity at your house, so it wouldn't matter for you.
Yeah,
but
we do know.
That's what we're going to do, is build like an ice box. So basically we stack the ice up in there. Then we have some wire mesh trays. And then basically you'll just go down there and open the door just like an ice box. And then everything will be cold inside. And then the root cellar will be on the outside of that. All in that area, and then we'll be able to keep our root vegetables and stuff we harvest and our ferments and our kombuchas and everything like that.
Nice. Yeah, I tell people all the time, I would do it over again in a heartbeat, except for I want water on the property. I don't care. The water doesn't have to be in the house. I have to have drains in the house. The bathtub and the sink have to drain. Right. But I would haul water, but I am not living. We only went one summer with a cooler, and then we had a propane fridge. I would never live without a fridge again. That was just a nightmare. But that sounds like a pretty good solution.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with you guys too, I mean, you could get that ice cold, and you could build that out of, it's like 8-inch or 10-inch thick styrofoam. And then you guys could build a room like that and really cut down on your propane consumption, because those propane fridges, if that's what you're running with,
we have an electric fridge now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Propane is an option, and a lot of people kind of lean towards it, but they really kind of go through the propane. But yeah, electric fridge, I mean, if you have electric power, then it's not a problem. A lot of people have minimal solar and can pretty much power a smaller type fridge, so.
When we put our water in, our neighbor moved up here, and the electric was only $2,000. It went from $10,000 to $2,000 when she put it in, and we were just like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Happened to be right. It was funny because it was like 1999, so we got running water and electricity right when we went into the year 2000, and all of a sudden we had like cell phones and computers and satellite dish, and like, it's funny.
Yeah, so like for us, like right now, we're using our cell phone as a hotspot, and that's how we're doing this whole show.
No way. I was wondering how you were doing that. You must have good cell phone service. Like, I don't have good cell phone service at my house.
Yeah, so like we've been through three carriers, and now we have it nailed down. So Verizon, we're in like this Verizon sweet spot. They didn't even, like when we went to Verizon, they said, oh, we don't have coverage in your area. And I was like, oh, you do? Because my friends just came by with Verizon, and they did streaming video from their phone and everything else. So sign us up. So we got it. We brought it up here, and we have unlimited data, and they're sorry they ever introduced unlimited data to offer with Doug and Stacy.
That's great.
Oh, my goodness. There's my phone going off. Okay. Well, my last question I always ask is, do you have, an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden? Not that you guys haven't, given us a million already, but.
Yeah, so our number one go-to quote is always, do what you can where you are.
Awesome. You guys are so wonderful. And I guess how to connect with people, they go to Off the Grid with Doug and Stacy.
Yeah, if you guys want to connect with us, make sure you hit up our YouTube channel. It's called Off Grid with Doug and Stacy. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also have a group on Facebook. We have our Off Grid with Doug and Stacy page on Facebook, but we also have started a group where everyone comes together. They share their gardening tips and information, and it's called Homestead Homies Off Grid with Doug and Stacy. So you can check that out. We have about 11,000 people there. We just started it. And, you know, it's really a good melting pot, a lot of different zones, a lot of people from around the world sharing their gardening experiences and their homesteading life. And stay tuned because we'll have a website coming out soon, offgridwithdougandstacy.com.
Cool, because I found some other website that I thought was you guys just called Homesteading. But then I realized that that's just like, it must be like just a bunch of homesteaders and you're kind of like on her website.
It could be, if that could have been Homesteading of America website, and they're the ones that put on the conference in October. So that could have been what you saw, you know.
So yeah, go to the YouTube channel called Off Grid with Doug and Stacy. Well, thank you so much for spending all this time with us this morning. But since there's both of you, we got double the fun. I might break this into two episodes, but just thanks for all you're doing.
Yeah, just keep in touch and let us know when it airs, and we'll tell our peeps to come check it out and leave a link, and then we'll put a link in our videos and stuff. So that'll help drive traffic over to your podcast as well.
Cool. Man, you guys are doing so.
Hey, Green Future Growers. Don't forget to get your copy of the 2018 Organic Gardener Podcast Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available now at Amazon.com for $16.95. It's a place to keep track of your organic gardening journey, where you can record temperature, weather, recipes, produce that you grew, produce that you bought, and just all your successes and failures and challenges and dreams for the future, all your garden goals. Keep them track of them in one place. 225 pages that will go through each week of the year for the 2018 year. And just there's blank pages in there where you can sketch or write or do anything that will help you record your journey. So don't forget to get a copy of the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper, available at Amazon. You can go to the organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018 for the link.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.